Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. I just wanted to say welcome on this beautiful Saskatchewan morning. Yeah, it is wonderful that you all were able to make it out to church today. Gold star all around. It is wonderful to be together, to be in community, to lift our voices and to sing together. And to celebrate this day in which we're celebrating the baptism of our Lord. Now, for those of you who are liturgical and church nerds like me, you'll know that baptism of our Lord was supposed to be celebrated last Sunday, but instead we did the Epiphany. So we bumped it to this Sunday because it's an important Sunday, and I thought it would be a great opportunity for us to gather together and to talk about baptism. And so with that, let us begin our service together. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all our hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, keep your children born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Acts. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. Of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So by show of hands, how many of you in the congregation remember their baptism? Oh, we've got a few. We've got a few. Excellent. A lot of people don't. And my plan this Sunday was to stand up here and say, okay, it's easy to read that first lesson where Paul is going through different parts of Asia and says to them, well, what were you baptized into? And they say, the baptism of John. And we haven't heard of the Holy Spirit. And what's going on? And I would make a little bit of a joke about how could they not know. And then my plan was to ask, so what were you baptized into? And then there was going to be an awkward silence, but thanks to our beloved deacon and office administrator, you all might have received this as you came in the door. This is a bookmark that you get to keep that has the whole baptismal covenant on it. So it would be like doing an open book test if I was to ask you now. So we're going to save some time, and what we're going to do instead, when we come to the point in our service where we profess our faith, we're actually going to renew our baptismal covenant and our baptismal vows using this right here. But before that, I wanted to talk a little bit about baptism in general, because it's something that we all do. It's something that is a big part of our Christian life together, and yet we sometimes don't think about it too much. If you were to take what baptism means by the armchair theologians and by Hollywood directors, you would probably hear that baptism is about wiping out the sin. It's like a bath that gets you clean, and then you're able to go on from there. And that's partially true, but it's a lot more nuanced than that. In our gospel reading today, we heard about Jesus getting baptized by John the Baptist. And that was a baptism for the remission of sins. Now, one thing that we hold as Christians is that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus came to earth and created for us a path to follow, set an example of how to act and how to engage in the world and how to love so generously and so freely that we lose ourselves in it and form an amazing community. But we also have doctrine that says that Jesus was without sin. So if Jesus was without sin, why would he go to John the Baptist to be baptized for the remission of sin? It doesn't quite add up, and so there has to be a bit more to it than that. Turns out that baptism is one of those things that Christians from a multitude of denominations can recognize and agree on. There was a time back in history when the Roman Empire was going around persecuting Christians. They would take them and they would do terrible, unspeakable things to them, kill them, you name it. And when that was happening in a village or in a town somewhere in the Roman Empire, you'd have two groups of people. You'd have those who say, nope, this is my faith, I'm sticking with it, no matter what, I'll risk persecution. And then there was another group that said, if they're just asking me to like tip my hat to the emperor, I'll do that. And when they're gone, I'll head back to church and it will be fine. Well, as you can tell, those two groups didn't get along too well at all. And the problem came when the group that tipped their hat and said, sure, whatever, I'll go along with that, and didn't get persecuted, started baptizing individuals. Those hardcore Christians were saying, well, that's not fair. Does that baptism count if they broke away and then came back? So it was a big conflict over who was in and who was out. It seems to be that human conflict is often about who is in and who is out. And yet, St. Augustine, way back in the early parts of the church, recognized that there was something about baptism that was more than just symbolic, that there was something that was powerful and beautiful, and God actually did something. For those of you who went through the old catechist of the Anglican Church, you might recognize the wording of what a sacrament is. And when you hear about the sacraments, it means that it's an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Put simply, when you do a simple thing like washing, or a simple thing like praying over the bread and water at communion, God does something spiritual with that. It's an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And this is really, really important, because sometimes it might not feel like we're doing anything special or anything holy. It might feel like a baptism is just a rite of passage instead of a spiritual welcoming in to a new family. But God tells us that even if we don't feel it, even if we feel far away or spiritually dry or lost, that God is doing something, and we can trust in that, even if it's hard. Baptism isn't just about getting washed clean. It's about being connected to something bigger than ourselves. And throughout Christian history, baptism has been tried to be recognized and seen as an important part of what we do together. Some churches at the entrance and the exit of the churches have a little holy water stoop, in which you're supposed to take some holy water and make a sign of a cross on yourself that reminds you of your baptism. For in many ways, we all start again and again. Some churches have a weird golden pot full of water that the priest takes and sprinkles on the congregation, getting everybody wet, marking up your bulletins and everything like that. Something that looks a little bit like this. And I have one because of course I have one. But again, this is a symbol of our baptism. The holy water that's sprinkled on people is designed to remind us that we begin again and again and again, and that at the very center of our faith, the very center of our spiritual life, is connection. Connection to one another, connection to God's world. Some of you might know that every night I fall asleep listening to space documentaries by Carl Sagan or by Neil deGrasse Tyson. That guy's voice can put me out so quickly. But if there's one thing I've learned from the first 5 or 10 minutes of every YouTube video on space and extraterrestrial exploration, it's that where there's water, there might be life. NASA now is looking out and looking at moons of Jupiter that might have a watery ocean in them, and that seems to be one of the best places to look for life outside of this Earth. Because what we found on Earth is that wherever there is water, there is life. In frozen lakes under Antarctica, in places that haven't seen the sun in millions of years, if there's water, there's life. On the salt flats of Arizona, where it rains only a tiny bit, you turn over a stone, and because there's water, there's life. For us, as Christians, the water symbolizes our life. It symbolizes our connection to creation itself, beautifully made, wonderful, gorgeous. We, through baptism, are connected to God and through God to all creation. When we renew our baptismal vows, when we baptize a little infant, we are doing something profound. It might seem like a simple, ordinary, day-to-day thing, giving a baby a bath, taking a shower. But spiritually, it is powerful. And we are invited to be reminded of that power working in our lives, whether we feel it or not, whether we can give ourselves to it or not. It's there. It's present. And it's that baptism that connects us to each other and to all the believers in this world and to all of creation. And so it seems like a wonderful way to start our year together is to recognize first and foremost how connected we are to each other, and through that connection to each other, how connected we are to God. So let us remember our baptism. Whether we raise our hands or not, we can remember that we are connected, that we are bound through the waters of life to each other and to our God. Amen. And so with that, I invite the congregation to rise. And let us renew our baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, was buried, and was buried, and was buried.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the Apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? There's a prayer that's said at ordination, and I offer it now. For those of you who have proclaimed these things, may God give you the grace and the strength to see them through. Amen. I would invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
On this wintry January morning, let the Spirit of God in our hearts plead for the church and for the world. Great God of all time and space, fill the church with such joy in believing that all Christians overflow with love, compassion, generosity, and humility. Let us walk your way and live your life. May the Spirit of God fill us to overflowing. Great God of power and justice, fill the arenas of leadership and conflict with sharpened consciences and with courage, so that wise decisions are made, needs met, and wrongs righted. May the Spirit of God fill us to overflowing. Great God of gentleness and truth, fill every home with new insight and greater understanding. Break down the divisive barriers and build up our capacity to love. May the Spirit of God fill us to overflowing. Great God of attentive caring, fill us with your practical compassion. May all who suffer be heard, comforted, and cared for. Heal both their situation and our hardness of heart. Today, we pray especially for Anna Woodson, Eunice Smith, Sylvia Brightwell, Liz Bailey, Sean, Frida, Ashley, and Gavin. May the Spirit of God fill us to overflowing. Great God of unending being, fill death with your life and the dying with hope for you. Prepare us all for life which lasts forever. May the Spirit of God fill us to overflowing. Great God of all creation, fill our mouths with praises and our hearts with gratitude for all the glory that surrounds us. Merciful Creator, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be led to the will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of life and freedom, we celebrate the revelation of Jesus as the Christ, who makes all creation new. Accept all we offer you this day, and make us new in him who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give honors and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. By water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a holy people in Jesus Christ our Lord. You renew that mystery in bread and wine and nourish us to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the holy people who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom.
Happy are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Please stand. Let us pray. Gracious God, lover of all, by this sacrament you make us one family in Christ your Son, one in the sharing of his body and blood, one in the communion of his Spirit. Help us to grow in love for one another and come to the full maturity of the body of Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation.
In the Church of King Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Teresa for...